The following broadcast is brought to you by Sons of God International and Freedom Fellowship Church. Hello, and welcome to the prophetic voice of our time, where we focus on the voice of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our host, Christina Sasso, is a senior pastor at Freedom Fellowship Church. Let's hear what she has to say to the body of Christ.
Hello, and welcome to today's broadcast. I am Paula Nations. And you are listening to the prophetic voice of our time. It is an exciting time. Things are shifting and changing. What was is no longer. It is not just a new day, but a new season and a new era for the body of Christ. I want to put a disclaimer to today's message. Today's message is to be taken, prayed over, meditated on, and applied as the Holy Spirit guides you. This message requires prayer, meditation, and application. It is not a hear it and leave it message. Today, we are looking into the condition of the heart, examining the heart, and taking corrective action. Philippians 3:13 and 14 tell us, "Forget what lies behind, and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." The Passion Translation says, "I fasten my heart on the future, letting go of the past." In the book of Exodus, the children of Israel had left Egypt. What a huge transformation of their situation. They literally walked into their freedom, but their hearts were still enslaved. They didn't just remember the past. Their hearts remained in the past, their past experiences. The past was the framework of a place of reference for the heart and for their life. They relished in the memories of the past. They delighted in their enslaved condition. I fasten my heart on the future. I fix my gaze and my purpose on reaching the heavenly goal and gaining the heavenly prize. That's what we read in Philippians 3. Israel walked into physical freedom. They were free, but the hearts of the people remained enslaved. This heart condition did not negate God's promise, but delayed the manifestation of the promise, the entering into the promised land. God does not change, so we need to sit up and pay attention. We need to take heed. As we have entered into a new time, we need to ensure that our hearts are also changed. As we step into change, we learn from the children of Israel. We learn that we must examine our hearts. Our heart will usher in what has been promised to us, or our heart will delay our promise. It is not for lack of knowledge. It is not for lack of faith that we do not see the promise before our eyes. It is our heart's condition. We have entered into this new time, just like Israel. What delayed the promise for 40 years was not God withholding of the promise. It was their heart condition that delayed the promise. Their hearts were not in a condition to move forward into the freedom. We must look closely at our hearts and be very careful that our hearts do not hinder the manifestation of our promise. Daily, we have habits of physical grooming. We shower, we brush our teeth, we comb our hair. Maybe we apply creams or lotions to our skin or to our hair. Perhaps we should consider a daily heart grooming. In this new day, we must forget the past. We must change our heart's focus. We decide, not as a lack and lazy, lackadaisical kind of choice, but as a choice that is determined not to miss the full, complete promise that is ours in Christ Jesus. Like it was with Israel, so it is with us today. Everything comes down to the heart. Everything is a reflection of the heart's condition. We must examine. We must watch over our hearts. With all passion, I want to encourage you, fasten your heart on the future. Prepare your heart for all that is to come and for all that is already here. That is today's message. Prepare your heart. Deal with the issues of your heart so that you can move forward into the new time, so that you can possess your promise. Don't be as Israel was, whose heart had not been transformed and who would not let go of the past. As children of God, we must understand how our Father God operates. Jesus spent a good deal of time teaching about how his Father, our Father, conducts his affairs. Jesus would say, "The kingdom of heaven is like," and Jesus would draw a parallel from the earthly experience to the heavenly truth. And so it is in Matthew 13. Jesus teaches some principles of heaven's kingdom. Beginning in verse 3, Jesus said, "A farmer went out to sow seed." So it is in heaven's kingdom. There is a sowing of seed. In the kingdom, the field in which the seed is sown is the heart. Here it is. Everything is about the heart, the condition of the heart. Everything comes down to the heart. Everything is an indication of the heart's condition. The condition of the heart dictates the harvest. Let's read this passage of scripture in Matthew 13, beginning in verse 3. "Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, 'Behold, a sower went out to sow. As he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on the stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun came up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on the good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." Here we see a picture of the heart, a trodden path, a stony place, a place with thorns. Jeremiah 17:9 tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The condition of the heart, the natural state of our heart, is wicked and deceitful. It is hard, stony, full of thorns and thistles. A field, a heart in the natural state, left alone, cannot produce a kingdom crop, even if kingdom seed was sown. Let me say that again. A field, which is the heart, left in its natural state, left alone, cannot produce a kingdom crop, even if kingdom seed was sown. That is what this passage in Matthew is telling us. A crop will not be harvested. There will be no harvest, even if the best seed is sown. There will be no harvest because the condition of the field, the heart, hinders, deters, delays, and stops the harvest. My dad was a farmer. He cared for his fields. He took steps to keep the soil healthy. He removed stones from his fields. He cut back brush and briars that would try to encroach on the fields. He did everything to ensure a good harvest. My dad would never have harvested a good crop from his fields, even if he owned them. There would have been no harvest if he had not cared for the soil and maintained the condition of his fields. He could have sown all the seed he wanted, but there would have been no harvest when the briars and thistles grew without restraint, or if the stones had been allowed to remain. Sadly, there are brothers and sisters who have not considered the condition of their heart and the impact on the harvest. They have failed to make the direct connection that the heart condition impacts the harvest. They believe that since they are a child of God, that is the end all, be all. And if anything else is going to happen, God will do it. They lack kingdom understanding. They do not understand kingdom principles or how God gets things done. So we fix our gaze, determined to address our heart's condition. We understand that our heart's condition directly impacts our harvest, harvest for the kingdom. Our heart is like a well-worn path, a stony place, a place of thorns. Let's continue in Matthew 13, verse 14. This is Jesus speaking. "In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understand. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. This ties with what Jeremiah said about the heart being deceitful above all things, and who can know it. But there it is in Jeremiah and Matthew. Plainly, we have a heart problem. And this heart problem will derail or delay what is our assigned promise. Nowhere do we read in Scripture of any exceptions. You are not excused if you go to church. You are not excused if you pray. You are not excused if you read your Bible. I am not minimizing these things. I'm saying you cannot excuse yourself. Nor does your position here on earth, your position before man, give you and excuse you to not engage in heart examination. Likewise, ignoring the heart's condition does not excuse you from the responsibility to your heart. You have a responsibility to tend to your heart so that a good harvest is produced. Ignoring that responsibility does not excuse you before the Lord. Not tending to the condition of your heart, ignoring that responsibility, it is likened to an unfaithful servant. A servant who has had the field and the seed, but was lazy and did not tend his field. He sat back, folded his hands, and closed his eyes. Unfortunately, this is a stance that many believers take. They play ostrich. They put their head in the sand so to ignore or deny the problem, or make this situation someone else's responsibility. Try as they might, that is not kingdom principle. It's your heart, therefore, it's your responsibility. Many years ago, when my daughter moved on her own, she had developed a unique thought process when it came to paying her bills. She paid her rent and her electric and her water. But other bills she shuffled around. Some got paid, some did not. Now you know where this is going. One day she came home in tears. She had gotten a letter from a lawyer demanding payment in full. I will never forget what she said to me. I was planning to pay it, and they don't need to be so nasty and add all these fees. We sat down, she made some phone calls, and ended up with a major attitude adjustment and a life lesson that we now laugh about. But at the time, she was in tears and truly did not comprehend what she did wrong. It wasn't that she wasn't going to pay, she just hadn't gotten around to it yet. Many believers are like that. They know they have a heart issue, but they just haven't gotten around to it yet. They have not addressed or confronted the issues, so they deny the responsibility. But there is more. The full message of Matthew 13 not only identifies the problem, but gives the solution. Jesus said, "Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them." The otherwise in this piece of scripture is about a choice, a decision. So it is to make the choice to see with your eyes, to hear with your ears, to gain understanding. When that happens, you will turn, and Jesus said, "I will heal you." Let's review for a minute. We have a heart problem, but we cannot accurately conclude the condition of the heart and what should be done, because the heart won't allow it. The heart is of itself, is wicked and deceitful. Our heart is callous. Our eyes are blind. The ears are dull. And then we still have the responsibility to address the heart condition. We can make a choice, and we make a choice because it is our responsibility. But God would never give us this responsibility without giving us the needed resources to complete the task. So our choice is to accept the responsibility of the task. That is our choice. But we cannot move into preparing our heart soil for a full harvest without Holy Spirit to guide us. Before we move any further, let's pray. Holy Spirit, come and open the eyes of our hearts. Unplug our ears and give us understanding. Expose the condition of our heart. We know we cannot truly know our heart's condition, for it is too wicked and too deceitful. But we desire open eyes. We desire open ears. We desire understanding. So we ask, Holy Spirit, come. Come and expose the condition of our heart. and the action we must take to make our hearts pure. Open our eyes and ears so we may fully embrace the kingdom message, so that we may fully recognize the actions we must take, so we may fully turn to you, completely walking in what you have laid out before us, so that we may be healed. Let us let go of the past ideas, habits, and hurts. Empower us now to fully embrace the truth of the kingdom. And in Jesus' mighty name, amen. We took this time to pray because this work in our heart is not accomplished without the Holy Spirit. We cannot do this work without Him. The Holy Spirit leads us into all truth, including exposing the condition of our heart, and talent leading us in the remedy for our heart. Heart work is not accomplished without the Holy Spirit. A closer look at Matthew 13, this passage shows us indicators of the heart condition. The first we see is the stony soil, a rocky place. The stones and rocks make it impossible for the seed to root. This is a picture of the hardness of the heart. The heart becomes hardness due to repeated exposure to sin. Another heart indicator is one of thorns. The thorns grow at will in an unattended heart. These are heart attitudes of anger, malice, bitterness, envy, offense, to name a few. These grow unchecked because they are considered as insignificant, little things that are not seen or thought of in a day-to-day, but in the heart and remain in the heart unless they are attended to. The last picture that we will look at is the well-worn path. This is a picture of people walking in the heart, so to speak. These are teachings, opinions, ideas, and principles that have become entrenched in our heart. Family, friends, teachers, cultures, and religious teaching all create a well-worn path. These principles do not allow for the seed to grow. No life, no change. These principles do not allow for the change. These heart principles are very familiar and very comfortable, and have been a part of our heart for years. These principles present themselves as rigid and immovable, completely correct without question. There have been those in our lives who have supported and encouraged these principles, hence the picture of the well-worn path. You cannot understand all this without the Holy Spirit exposing this kind of thinking and these kinds of heart principles, because in and of ourselves, we would never question such guiding principles. It is how we have been taught, and it is how those around us agree with us, and we agree with them. It is with Holy Spirit's guiding that we can turn this hardened path of our heart into fertile soil. Let's examine this one such embedded heart principle. This principle comes from religious teaching and from cultural experience. Remember, we have no truth without Holy Spirit. For left to ourselves, our hearts will lead us down a path that is fruitful and will benefit nothing. A common heart teaching is in how we see God and how we relate to Him. It is rooted and displays itself in the heart condition. It's a heart training. Many of us were taught that we owe God because of the sacrifice of Jesus. Because of the gift of salvation, we owe God, and therefore are indebted to Him. Except, Jesus freely gave His life, and the salvation is a free gift. So we do not owe anything. There is no obligation or debt when a gift is given. Therefore, we are under no obligation to God for anything. All we have, and all we have been given, has been given to us freely. But this teaching of obligation is a teaching that is widespread. So we relate to God in obligation, in a way that we owe Him. So we have a heart set that is fixed on that we must do. We have to be active. We are doing. We have a heart set that we must act and be a certain way. But if we fall short, there is condemnation. Having a relationship with God based on obligation produces insecurity in the heart, a place where we cannot rest and relax. We cannot trust because acceptance is based on our efforts. A place of competition and jealousy is produced. We cannot rejoice for others because our hearts won't allow it. This is also a place that is vulnerable to the whispers of the enemy. A place of doubt and compromise is then produced. A place of peace and joy and trust and love cannot grow. It is not possible with this heart mindset. This is a terrible place to be, a place of struggling and striving and fear. Fear of never having met the obligation, of never being free of the debt. These principles or precepts of obligation do not pass the Jesus test. The Jesus test? What's that? The Jesus test says, does it produce life? And these principles do not produce life. Our relationship of God is not of obligation, but of devotion. God will challenge our heart's belief and cut away the lies because we are to be devoted to Him because we love Him. We serve Him because we love Him. We do and give because we love Him. The issue is that we have no love of our own, and our hearts are not about love, so we have no love to give. God loved us first, giving us His love, so we then are equipped to love Him. Because His love is so great, we too can love. We open our hearts, meditating on His inconceivably great and large and vast love for us, and rest in the truth of His love for you and for me. This is foundational. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and to guide you into a love relationship, a relationship of basking in the luxurious love of our God. And then your response is one of love and devotion, not obligation. You are then loving God with all your heart. You no longer relate to Him from that place of obligation, but from that place of love and devotion. And from this love, there is an outflow of love in all areas of your life. Psalm 139:17 says, "How precious are your thoughts to me! How vast is the sum of them!" This is not about God's thoughts in general. This is very specific, that the thoughts He has are of you. And these thoughts are precious, and there are so many that they can't be counted. Other words, God has you always on His mind. God is always thinking of you lovingly, caring for you, and guiding you. Your promise, your harvest, your destiny is bound to the quality of your heart soil. I encourage you to forget the old teaching that condemns you to a life of obligation. I encourage you to see God as a good Father who gives good gifts, who freely gives good things because of His great, vast, deep love for you. Renew your mind in this way, and it will cultivate your heart soil and bring it to a place of a good soil, a rich soil, able to produce a crop of 30, 60, or 100-fold. Luke 15 gives us the picture of how God feels about us if we have strayed from the truth of His love, or if we have outright rebelled. Luke 15 is the story of the prodigal son and shows us that God welcomes us home and welcomes us into a relationship with Him and restores us with great love and delight. Remember, ask Holy Spirit to guide you, to show you what is poor teaching or even possibly false teaching. Ask Holy Spirit to lead you into renewing your mind and creating a love relationship with God, a relationship that produces fertile soil. Holy Spirit will guide you. Jesus will be your light, and God will bless you. So until next time, you have been listening to the prophetic voice of our time.
Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. We really hope you were blessed by today's episode. And if you were, we want to hear from you. You can call us at 210-695-1630. Or you can email us at sogmi@outlook.com. That's SOGMI at outlook.com. sogmi.com. And we really encourage you to visit our website, sogmi.org. That is sogmi.org. That's where you can listen to previous episodes of this podcast and even support this broadcast. We're supported by listeners just like you. So if you want to support this ministry, you can go to sogmi.org and hit the donate button. You can also send a check to P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023. Again, that is P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023.